We are going to be entering a series called One Flesh. This is a series that, too bad Tab's not here for the first one. She's under the weather today. She woke up not feeling well, so she'll be here next week. But anyway, she was really like nervous about me preaching a marriage series for the month of February. So she's like, oh my gosh, what are you going to do? So anyway, we're going to be looking over the next 4 weeks at just strengthening our marriages, and if you're single out here or you're not married yet, even there's some great takeaways that you can take from what we're developing here, because it not only extends to the marriage union, it also extends to our union with Christ as well. So I think there's something for everybody here, but it will be tailored just a little bit for strengthening some of our family, our marriage families here in the church. So. Oh, I'm nuts when I come to my illustrations. All right, who's ever cut down a tree? I'm just curious. Everybody ever cut down a tree? All right, hold on. All right, how do you do it? You're okay, Don, you're okay. Oh, yeah, we're trying to get axe throwing for our men. That's great. Oh, my gosh. All right.
You cannot just take them. That's not fair.
The ladies are welcome to have their own axe throwing, by the way. How do you do it? Where do you start? If you want to cut down a tree, where do you start?
Well, when we used to cut down a real tree for Christmas, we had the saw.
And yeah. So, do you start up top? Or do you start down low?
Yeah.
So you would attack
the whole Christmas tree.
You would attack at the base of the tree.
Yeah.
Attack at the base of the tree. So you would strike. Now, I'm not going to swing it, but you would strike at the foundation of the tree, at the trunk of the tree, right? Good. This is the sycamore gap tree in northern England. Some of you may remember it from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. It was featured there. It's been photographed hundreds and hundreds of times. Pretty gorgeous, right? Beautiful. It's no longer there. A 16-year-old vandal cut it down. 16-year-old vandal cut it down back in September or something like that, right? So, now, if he had only cut the top, like a couple branches off the tree, that wouldn't have been as detrimental as what we see here, right? But he sawed down the tree at the root, actually not the root, but the base of the trunk of the tree, and now it's gone. It's ruined, right? So, I know, it's awful. But if you would have cut just a couple branches off, it would be nowhere near as destructive as what we see here. Because essentially, the tree is dead. It's gone. It's not good for anything. So I'll put this down so you guys stop getting nervous here. But if you want to cut down a tree, you're going to start where it's most effective, at the base of the tree. And so, if he would have cut it down, it wouldn't be anywhere near as effective to cut up top. He wanted to get it where it would be most effective. Welcome to Satan's strategy for marriage, by the way. If Satan wants to destroy your marriage, he's going to do it at the foundation of your marriage, at the very root of what it is. If Satan can get in at the root of your marriage, guess what? The whole thing's just going to topple, and it's going to come over. And so as we enter this series of oneness, my desire is that all of us would begin to strengthen our relationship with Christ, but our couples who are in marriage, my desire is that we would actually firm the foundation, that we would strengthen the foundation of our marriages, so that if Satan would ever try to attack it, he would find some very strong resistance. Because his strategy is to attack what God loves. That's Satan. That's Satan's motive. He hates what God loves. And God loves marriage. He loves it. And I hope to prove it here to you. If you have your Bible, join with me in Genesis chapter 2. I want to prove to you where it comes from. Why is it important? Well, what is it about? When we talk about marriage, there's a lot of different opinions about it, but I want to go right to the text and kind of talk about marriage here and talk about why it's important to God. Genesis chapter 2. Take a look. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded him, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone, and I will make a helper suitable for him." By the way, you know the story. If you ever read the first two chapters of your Bible, it says God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that it took him 6 days to create everything that we see and experience here. On the seventh day, he rested. And then we get like a smaller picture of the day that God created man. And here, God creates Adam. And as he looks over, by the way, has sin crept into the world yet? No. So remember what God said, day one, it is what? Then day two, it is, skip a bit, it is very good, actually. He looks over, he says, it is very good, right? So take a look here. God looks over all of his creations and said, man, this is good. But then take a look here. Now God is looking over his creation, sees that man is alone, and says, it is what? Not good. So God sees that man is alone in the goodness of everything that he's made, and now says, something is not good possibly be. And so now, do something about that. He wants to make something good, and he wanted to make it better. If gooder was a word, this would be the perfect, like, it would make it gooder. But if you're like English people here, you're like, oh, right. But like he wanted to make that which was good even better. And he did so by creating marriage. Like, marriage is that which made what God saw a man by himself and said, there is nothing here that's going to suit you quite like the one that I will make for you that will fill in all the gaps. And so, here, then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man, and the man's going to say, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she is taken out of man. And this is why man leaves his father and mother, and they are united, and they will become one flesh. That's the basis for our entire series. One flesh. God saw marriage as a way to reflect the intimacy within the Godhead. Right? Three in one. And there in marriage are two becoming one with Jesus at the center. And there is this beautiful picture of three in one. And this is so important to God. And this is our theme over the next couple weeks. And so I want us to be aware of this. Because if Satan can attack at the foundation of that which he loves. By the way, if God loves it, that means Satan hates it, right? Satan hates what God loves. And God saw this beautiful picture of marriage as something that is so good that it makes good better. It's just this great picture. But there's a warning out there. A warning. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Oh, hey! She's over there. She's back there. Where's Jack? Oh, here he comes. Oh, that's amazing. I'm glad you knew about it, Jack. Welcome to our church, by the way. Oh my gosh, it's so good. Maybe. Anybody here ever play Jenga? Good game. So, for my people who are like super destructive, see if I can get this the way that it's supposed to be. Hit it with the axe. We could. See if I can get this off of here. This worked out better in my head as a sermon illustration. Thank you to the Dakovics who let us use this from their home. Got it. Okay. Now, for those of you who ever played Jenga, right? I know there are some of you out there that are just chaotic, right? Most of us, if we play Jenga, we're going to start up here, right? We're going to start trying to find that one piece that we can pull out, right? But some of you, and you know who you are, start down here, and you drive the rest of us crazy, right? Because all of a sudden, most of us know that if you're going to tie, if you want this thing to topple, the surefire way to do it is to go where? Down low. You're still on top! Have you not been listening? The point is Satan, what Satan loves to do is attack the foundation of marriage. And that if Satan was playing this game and this tower represented your marriage, if Satan can get to the bottom and make it start to topple, all of a sudden he knows the whole thing's going with it. If I can make this just a horrible experience, if I can attack what is true, what is right, what is holy, what is good, the whole thing will fall. And so my desire for us is that the foundation needs to be strengthened. Like if, by the way, if we had super glue, I wish, this isn't my game, otherwise these are the things that run through my head, right? If I had super glue, this would be great. Because my desire is no matter how much you wanted to hit it, it wouldn't go anywhere. And as marriages, as those who are married here today, or those who just have a relationship with God, right? And I'm speaking to my singles too, by the way. If you are single or married, this message is for both of you because the reality is the foundation is the key of you as a person. It's just our married couples are two in one. Oh, you mean Simon Bill?
He wants to go to the bathroom.
We need to strengthen the foundation. And so my idea is there is strength in oneness. Oneness. This is going to be a topic over the next couple weeks. Our oneness. Right? Adam and Eve with their God. By the way, I love this. This is why man will leave his wife and his mother. They become a united one flesh. I love this. Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. I love that part, right? Because it's just Adam and Eve with their God. Nothing. There's no worries. There's no cares. There's just them two living out this beautiful intimacy with each other and with God. And there's this beautiful picture of how things were supposed to be. They were there with their Creator and it didn't matter about anything, it just mattered about him, and they were naked and felt no shame. It's this beautiful picture of intimacy and oneness. They were one. And that's what we're called to. If you want to strengthen the foundation of your marriage, it's about oneness. How do we get closer to oneness? This is one tower. If we were to superglue it, it would become one solid tower. We can be here all day trying to pull these pieces out and it wouldn't work. So my desire is that we have to be pretty good at solidifying the foundation of our marriage. And we're going to take a look at that. But the foundation that Jesus wanted was oneness. That Jesus is not just her thing or his thing or that, you know, oh, that's their, no, it's our thing. This God is our thing. And we're unified and we're solidified in this idea of oneness. And so my desire is that we begin to understand this. I know a pretty good contractor, by the way. He built some pretty impressive things. Spoiler alert, his name's Jesus. And if you're here today and your foundation has some cracks in it, if it's starting to split, if it doesn't look too good, today's the day where we can bring about an idea to bring it back to oneness. Jesus is pretty good at building some things, and he wants to build a piece of restoration here today. As we move forward, I want us to see this together. By the way, keep this in mind. Jesus said this, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew against that house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. Jesus wants to restore whatever it is that we're going through. There needs to be a desire for us to experience this goodness in God and to bring about this oneness And that's what God desires for marriages, in this idea of oneness, two becoming one, where it gets strengthened and renewed. And watch as we can we can try to topple it as much as we can, but the truth is, the more we solidify, the only stronger it gets. And so there's strength in oneness here today. That's my word to you. I have three quick points I want us to go through as we walk through these, and I want us to engage with this idea of oneness. But let's pray for our time together. Lord, use these words. Use these messages. Use your word to bring about a oneness here. There is an enemy who's desiring to chop, 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 and allow this thing to topple and fall. But Lord, if we solidify our oneness, if we solidify two in one, Lord Jesus, I ask that we would strengthen our couples in here. I would even strengthen anybody's relationship with you. This desire to draw closer to you is not just limited to those who are married, but it is a message for all of us. But Lord, I pray that you would guide and lead us in this. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. The first thing I want to make is stereosource. We've made some advancements in technology, by the way, when it comes to headphones, by the way. The first headphone actually looked like a stethoscope. Did you know that? Right? Then it moved on into, during World War II, we made some great advancements due to aviation. We had headsets and everything. And then where are my people who had the Sony Walkman? Where are my Walkman people? Right? Discman for some of us, by the way. Discman for anti-skip, right? And then finally now, like, today, it's crazy. Like, the stuff that you have today, that's a $300 headset, by the way. $300. Those are Pro something Max. Pro Beat Max or something like that. What's that? Beats Pro. But that's what these are. Evidently, they're legit. But here's what I want you to know. Stereo sound, by the way, if you ever notice that, if you ever have it, like, if you're listening to stereo, or like, even in your headsets, sometimes sound comes out of one and doesn't come out of the other. Especially if you hear, like, advertisements on the radio, like when you hear Spotify, there's people talking in this ear and then this ear. What they're doing is they're actually messing with the stereo sound, because it's one channel, and it's one source that goes into two channels. So you have a right and left ear, that's how that works. Mono, have you ever heard mono sound? Mono is one source, and then both hear the same thing. Stereo means that you can actually distinguish between the two channels. My desire, why am I telling you this? My desire is, when we talk about oneness, there is one source that speaks into our couples. One God. And he speaks to two people that interprets in one couple going forward. It's a stereo source. It's coming in, going to two, but coming back to one. God speaks in that way. And I want to take, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? By the way, you know the story. Genesis chapter 3, the serpent comes along, and here's the serpent speaking, not to Adam and Eve. Notice who he talks to. Just Eve. Just Eve. You see, if he could separate the two, he was there, but notice who he's speaking to. And she hears the voice and she reacts to it. Adam is there. Right? Adam is there. But notice, Satan's tactic was deliberately to get the one away from the other. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, no matter how close they were being separated. And so here is God desiring to bring that back to a place of oneness. He speaks right to the woman, but if Satan can alter the source, he can get all the marbles. He can bring this thing down really quick. And so my desire is for us just to always to hear and listen to the voice of the one still small voice that comes from God, and then come together. God is not a chaotic God. God will never contradict himself. He wants you to both hear from him and then come together, moving forward together with him. But know the tactic of your enemy. He wants to separate. If he can separate man, he wins. He wins. Do you ever have multiple tabs open on your computer? Especially when there's sound going, and you're trying to listen to one thing, and you got this other thing in the background playing, and it's just garbled, right? And it's just chaotic, and it's a mess. Welcome to life apart from Jesus. Right? There's all these voices speaking into me. There's all these things, and there's like three channels, four tabs all open, and they're all working at the same time, and I can't understand what's going on here. And so the call is to go back. Where is the source coming from? God doesn't work in chaos. God desires unity and oneness. And so my desire is that we walk in that. We listen to the voice of God and we come together with the voice of God. And God will never, never contradict himself. That's why I hear this from the Lord, and I hear this from the Lord. But where's the Lord speaking to you together? Because he's not gonna drive a wedge. God brings restoration. That's who he is. And so the source. What is the source? If there's multiple sources, that's a problem. If there's one source going to two channels, then coming back to one is the way that God desires for our marriages to work. Both being fed and invested into by God, and then being sent out as a one couple, as a oneness going out. In other words, when me becomes louder than we have an issue. And that's how things start. Well, it's about me. It's about me. Right? Healthy relationships start to fall apart here when me becomes greater than we. Now, stop. Cases of abuse and neglect are completely different stories. Do not hear me. I think the church has done some damage in the past with this. This is not about neglect and abuse. Those are completely different situations. Run. Nobody should ever be in an abusive relationship, ever. But when you have two people that are now self-seeking, that's when things start to fall apart. And if I want to repair the cracks in the foundation, the voice of we has to be louder than the voice of me. That's where we need to be. Satan loves to drive that wedge. It's about you. Don't you want what's there? Oh, did God really say to you? It's we. It has to be louder than me. Notice. Sorry. Yeah, I'm just going to move on. Here, let's go on. I've made my point there. All right, let's move on. Oneness should be a goal because it's God's desire for you. Look at Jesus' word in Mark 10. He quotes the Genesis passage. And the two will become one, flesh. They are no longer two, but one. He stops quoting the Genesis passage and he adds this little bit. They are no longer two, but now they're one. What does that tell me? Jesus knows his scripture, by the way. He wrote it, right? He says, but now my understanding is two are now one, right? That's his desire. That he wants two becoming one. All right, Smith, I'm going to use you here. No, you can stay right there. Right there. By the way, Matt and Becky Smith here. Hi, everyone. Tabitha was supposed to be here, but she bailed on me. So the
me was greater than the we today.
Really? That's what we're going to do? Is that the game we're playing? May I see your hands real quick? So do me a favor. Like this.
Yeah.
So how tight should I make this, dude?
Really tight.
How bad do you want to drive the car?
We're in two cars.
Oh, yeah.
We're
going
to be in the car then.
That means Caitlin's driving too.
Nope. Great.
All right, there we go. We're going to make it just a little bit extra here for you. So,
just don't use the ass to cut it off.
This is a picture of biblical oneness, by the way. You see, where Matt goes, Becky's going to go. Where Becky goes, Matt's going to go. Jesus desired the two become one. This was his desire for marriage. And if Satan can begin to try to get them to go two separate different ways, all of a sudden there's tension. And if they pull hard enough and they get enough resources and materials like that axe over there, they can break this bond pretty easily. And so it's Satan's desire to break what God has brought together. And that's why Jesus will actually say, he says, let no man separate what God has brought together. Biblical oneness is a picture right here. Two, bound together in Christ, going together, moving together, living together, loving together. And this is what we're called to be. Notice his words again. I don't have it up there. But he says, now the two have become one. I think so often we forget about this. If I'm spitting on you, I'm sorry. All right. Here, I'll let you two. You can undo that, or you can stay together for the rest of the sermon. There we go. Two is now one. Thank you, Smith, for volunteering to be that my guinea pig there.
Voluntold.
Oneness is God's desire for your marriage. That's what he wants. This bond is important to God, and he has great plans for it and for you. Whether you are single or whether you are married, the truth remains the same. God wants to use you as a vessel to carry the goodness to the nations. And the way he's going to do that in our married couples is to bring unity. What, there's one foundation here. My desire is that if we buckle down on oneness, we give ourselves the best chance of these axe attacks from coming and being deflected. That's point two. Oneness is a goal. It's what God desires for you. And here's the last one for my married couples. Here you go. It's work. It's work. It's hard work. Where are Daniels? Where's Telica? She's not here. She's not here. John, is marriage hard work? Yep. Elaine, marriage hard work. How many years?
52.
Wallums, how many? 30. Is it hard work? You better believe it is. 2 years, right? Is it hard work? You better believe it is. From day one, marriage, it's hard work. That's why, look what Paul says. Here's my singles. Here we go, folks. Check this out. Look, but if you do marry, you have not sinned. And a virgin takes marriage, so she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you of this. Paul even says, whew, that sounds like a lot of work for me, right? So like, my singles out there, don't be sitting here going, oh, woe is me. Paul's saying, hey, you go, man. Because you don't get it. You don't face the hardships. You don't face broken dreams that come with separation, with Satan, the heartaches, the pain, the pains of disloyalty. The list goes on. It's hard work. Every day, desiring to get to a place of oneness. It's hard work, and Satan loves to topple it. It is hard, hard work. And it's going to take every single day to solidify that foundation, to come back to God together, to solidify that which can be broken. That's why he says, I want to avoid you from experiencing the hardships of marriage, because he knows it's so much work. And so there are going to be days we got to roll up our sleeves and get to work here. We got to do what's hard, like forgiving, investing, choosing to love. Man, it was easy to love on that wedding day, right? Oh, it was easy. But man, you wake up and you realize I have to choose to love this person today, right? Like, everything in you wants to strangle that person. But no, I'm going to choose to love them today. Like, no, why? Because God brought us together. Right? We're choosing to do these things, to have patience. And this goes on. God wants your marriage to thrive, but you know what it's going to take? Hard work. And marriages begin to fail when we stop investing into them, desiring that oneness that God so beautifully brought together. And here's my point. When God can bring about strong marriages, our communities actually begin to change. We see kids move in my way. And if you're here and you are divorced, by the way, and I am no means saying that you are a lesser person. I understand. Relationships are hard. They're hard. But for those who are investing into each other, God wants it to thrive. And wants to see it as a vessel which carries the good news to the next generation and beyond. By the way, that's not just for our married couple. That's for all of us here this morning. God wants to use you as a vessel to bring about a goodness. But God wants to see it solidified because there are so many attacks of the enemy. God wants oneness. Oneness. Coming together in this beautiful picture. So super glue here today. That's what we need. We need a super glue. That's why I wish I just slather it on here. I would have bought you a jingle, Deb. Do what I want. There's only one glue that's going to hold our marriages together. Spoiler alert. It's God. And there's one thing that God has done that for every single person continues to remind us of why we do what we do. That's communion. We're going to take communion here today. And with communion, we're remembering the sacrifice of Jesus and the forgiveness that flows through Jesus. And if there's one thing relationships takes, it takes sacrifice and forgiveness. And so as we enter this time today, would you use it as just a base foundation that God is the basis of all that we say and do in our lives, whether married or not. But for my married couples, God wants a unity here, a oneness here that we can walk forward.